As we watch TV news video of migrants arriving at the southern border and see headlines about record numbers of apprehensions by Border Patrol agents, let's take a few minutes this morning to talk about the forces behind migration. Our next guest says much of it can be traced back to climate change. Amali Tower is the founder and executive director of human rights organization Climate Refugees and an expert in migration. I spoke with her more about climate migration and how we see its impacts here on our southern border. I want to start with a little bit of a baseline understanding of what we're talking about here when it comes to climate migration, climate refugees. How pervasive is this issue at this point? Like, I know when we're talking about migration, we're always talking about a myriad of factors, but this seems to be a big one these days.
It's a really big problem. We know now that we've reached a record of just a little over 59 million people that have been internally displaced now this year.
Wow.
A huge majority of that is from climate displacement, nearly like 60%. That's about a little over 22 million people are weather-related displacements. This is a trajectory that's been increasing since 2008. So we're talking about tropical cyclones and hurricanes and disasters. And those are what you would kind of refer to as, you know, what you constantly see in these UN climate reports as like sudden onset events related to climate change. But that's not the only impacts that climate change is having on displacement, because climate change also looks like these slow onset events, which are droughts, right? Food insecurity, rainfall variability, land degradation, desertification, rising seas, right? So, you know, in general, displacement is increasing every single year. We've reached now 100 million people that are forcibly displaced in the world.
Wow.
So that's refugees, asylum seekers, internally displaced persons, people who are moving for forcible reasons.
Mm-hmm.
A huge number of that, Lauren, is people are being pushed to move because of climate-related reasons. So climate change is playing a massive role in why people are, you know, forced out of their homes.
Yeah. I mean, I think we talk a lot about the border. We talk a lot about economic refugees, people looking for work, things like that. But that conversation has shifted so much in recent years. Can you give us an example or two of an event that happens here and these people end up at our doors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, take what happened, you know, at the U.S. southern border, right? We've been seeing a steady uptick of Central American arrivals. And traditionally, what the United States is used to seeing is, first of all, arrivals from Mexico. That started changing now, you know, well over 10 years ago. You've started to see Central American arrivals. And then you've also started to see demographic shifts in who was coming from Central America.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to see mothers, children, families, when the demographic shift like that, well, what exactly is happening and what's going on? Then you start to see, you know, other variables that you have to look at, like the fact that there was 6 to 8 years of consistent drought in the dry corridor. There was massive food insecurity as a result of that. Then you had two back-to-back hurricanes in November of 2020 that hit the same exact region in Central America, devastating these countries. So don't forget, too, that these things were happening in countries that were already dealing with, you know, endemic poverty, with violence, with gross inequality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are all overlapping. And because these overlapping crises that have severe knock-on effects, you're seeing that in the food insecurity, you know. You don't get to 2 million people that are food insecure in the Central America Dry Corridor, which pushes people then to the U.S. southern border. That doesn't happen overnight. That happens over several years.
Yeah. How do we often then see the corresponding response from, you know, rich countries like the U.S. when we see migration go up as it is right now because of all of these factors, including climate change?
Yeah. One of the biggest problems is that, you know, immigration policy tends to approach people coming to the U.S. southern border as economic migrants in search of better opportunities.
Right.
As if you're just coming in search of a job, you know, and then the political framing of that is it's very easy to sort of like tip over into they're coming in search of American jobs. The sheer fact is people are actually coming for reasons of vulnerability and protection.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are covered as strict asylum seeking situations, but also things that right now aren't covered by asylum law, which is these climate components that I'm talking about. And it's possible to be in both those scenarios at the exact same time. So it's not how it's being framed as like, oh, economic migrants coming here in search of jobs or better opportunities. Nothing could be further from the truth. These are people who are not just vulnerable, but are also oppressed.
So you mentioned in there sort of the policies on what qualifies for asylum and what doesn't, right? Like, do you think that we need to rethink the way that we think about asylum seekers and refugees and who they are and what kinds of situations they're fleeing from in light of climate change?
Absolutely. You know, the convention that we have right now is from 1951, and that's really based in situations that come out of World War II. It's now come to be, you know, 75 plus years later that, you know, we have this convention that now applies to everybody that are all around the world. In 1967, we even lifted this geographic limitation. And we have it applying to everyone in the world who's fleeing situations of conflict and persecution. Right. Strictly speaking, if you're someone who has left your country and you're fleeing, you know, reasons that amount to persecution on the basis of race, religion, political opinion, nationality, and social group, these are the only reasons under which you can seek asylum, you mm-hmm. know, and then thus be granted refugee status. So climate change is nowhere in there. Yeah. So it is time. I mean, it is so much so the time to look at, you know, addressing these concerns and recognizing that people are being pushed out of their homes for reasons that right now are not protected and covered under international law.
So what can be done? I mean, is there anything at the individual level people can do if they want to assist, help change things? Does this all have to be sort of grand scale policy change?
At the individual level, I think that, you know, people can do a lot. People can do a lot to be informed and recognize that, you know, I think Americans might be very surprised to know that at the executive level, the president actually has a lot of powers to enact protections for people at the U.S. southern border. Take Title 42 and what's happening right now to keep people out. Mm-hmm. We're saying for the last 2.5+ years that due to public health concerns, people can't come into this country, even though the CDC is now saying that's actually not a concern at all, right? And I think if Americans were to really look at what is the stumbling block, what is the concern, and then if you add the second layer, which is, hold on, we actually have executive powers to make some of these decisions. Mm-hmm. Take this example. Ukraine has happened, right? And in those same 2.5 years in which several other countries have been sitting outside the U.S. southern border in tents and camps in abysmal conditions, Lauren, in the kinds of conditions I have seen in refugee camps all around the world, that's happening just across the border in California and in Texas. Ukraine happened, and we had executive level policy changes where Customs and Border Protection officials were allowed to make discretionary decisions to allow Ukrainians across the border. Right. So that tells you right there, right, that there is some latitude. That's just one thing that we can do right now to recognize that, hey, if people are moving for reasons that are well outside of their control, and this is really a humanitarian imperative, then my goodness, wouldn't we want to understand it better and do something far more than we are?
All right. Refugee and migration expert Amali Tower, also the founder and executive director of Climate Refugees. Amali, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us about this. I appreciate it.
I really enjoyed being here. Thank you so much.